Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 135. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
What is up?
Chillin', Ben. What's the deal?
Well, you know, you just shared with our possibly imaginary Film Nerds text thread that Man of Steel 2 has officially entered production, or pre-production, I guess, development is the word, at Warner Brothers after the success of Suicide Squad. It looks like the reports that I read said that it was basically going to be the studio's number one focus as like the next part of their DC cinematic universe. So what this is big news for me as a big Superman fan. It's big news for you as a fan of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. And so we thought we could maybe talk about who might direct this Superman movie. And I have a top five list. How are you approaching the topic?
Ooh, I don't have a top five list. Man.
All right. So we can have a general discussion. I can just kind of go through, you know, around my top five.
Well, let's also reiterate how much more important this property is to you than it is to me. So I'm guessing that this top five list has probably been percolating for a while now. Am I wrong?
Not this formalized, but yeah, I mean, these names are the ones that pop into my mind when I'm like, wow, who could make a good Superman movie? And yes, I mean, I'm a Superman nerd going all the way back to childhood, and I was galvanized in my fandom when I discovered the internet at the height of speculation about Superman Lives. So, like, me thinking about who might direct a Superman movie is as much a part of me being an internet movie fan as anything else. So, and it's honestly the saga of Superman movies coming to screen is more entertaining than any single actual Superman movie. So I'm still out there waiting for the next great Superman movie, and I think that some of these guys could give it to us.
Well, let's establish something quickly. As the resident Superman expert here at FNU, help me understand, in your mind, what's the most important thing that a Superman movie can communicate about the character, about the property? Is it about the character? Is it about the story? Is it about the action? Is it about just like the overall complexion that hasn't quite been gotten yet, or not as well as it could be? The potential hasn't been realized visually as well as it could be. What is it about Superman that you're wanting to see on the big screen? And I think once I understand that more, then I can probably pick the right director.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that you're putting it up to me. But I think that, in the vaguest sense, a theme of hope and a theme of good decision making, I think is just kind of one of those basic things. Movies that kind of hit that touchstone well are the Captain America: The First Avenger. I think a movie like Lincoln, even, you know, there's these movies about just good characters who are still complex. So I think that's another thing is nailing the character of Superman as somebody who is quite powerful, but still, you know, has flaws, not in terms of, you know, should I or should I not kill people, but rather, you know, how do I deal responsibly with the powers that I've been given. And then, so that's theme, character, and with character, it's also, you know, just go back and look at what has made Superman great in the comic books, you know, the great writing from Mark Waid, John Byrne, Jeff Loeb, and many, many others that have shown a Superman that's been written well. And then style-wise, I mean, honestly, I'm a fan of the Donner films. I'm a fan of Bryan Singer's Superman Returns. I think that those movies got the general approach pretty close. But obviously the 70s movies are a little bit dated, and Singer's movie is a little austere and too, I guess, again, in its own strange way, dated. So I think the closest we've come to style-wise, what I think a Superman movie could look like in terms of bright, beaming optimism and fun and action are the films of J.J. Abrams, specifically Star Trek 2009. I think that that's a nice approach in general. We've talked about this before. I think if you just want just what a Superman movie could kind of be in a way, if you really squint your eyes, I think the best Superman movie we've ever gotten is Brad Bird's The Iron Giant. I think it deals with a lot of those topics. It has the tone, the lightness of touch, but still the stakes. And visually, color palette-wise, I think, strikes a lot of those balances. But obviously, it's an animated film, and it's not at all about Superman. So that's kind of the criteria that I'm working from. Does that help you?
Absolutely. And the first name you mentioned there is probably hits you over the head with an obvious pick, and it makes too much sense. Or if it makes too much sense, then that's probably what it should be. But just like, if we're going to be realistic, I guess at this point, Abrams probably isn't looking for a franchise or another reboot. But I don't know. We could have probably said the same thing after Star Trek Into Darkness.
Maybe that's all he's looking for.
Maybe that's all he should do. Maybe that's what he's good at.
See, that's the thing. There's two things with Abrams, because like you said, that's kind of like the obvious pick based on my criteria. There are two things with Abrams. One, he was involved with a Superman movie before called Superman Flyby as a screenwriter, and that was worked out for, that was going to be McGee directing, and then eventually Brett Ratner. And I've only read a script review of that, and it does seem like Abrams maybe doesn't have the best grasp on the character based on his screenplay for that movie. But also, yes, I mean, as a fan of his, I don't really want him to go to another franchise. I don't want him to, go to something that's been done before. He's done Mission Impossible and Star Trek and Star Wars, and he made his Amblin film, and I want to see something purely original from Abrams at this point. And I think that,
why though?
Because he, within those franchises, he introduces so many interesting little original story beats and visual ideas that, I want it for him almost more than I want it for myself. I mean, that's the biggest criticism that people levy against Abrams is, he only works in franchises or at least styles that other people have mastered. And so that's why he shall never be a master. And I want mastery for this guy.
But hasn't he
a little elusive?
Isn't J.J. Abrams' identity by now, after all that he's done and as much success that he's had in the realm that he's had it, hasn't he just sort of established himself not only as a filmmaker, but as the sort of quote-unquote make this franchise great again filmmaker? Is that not his niche by now? I mean, he's done it so many times that...
It is, but I don't like that niche, and I don't want that for him. So,
but you like all of those movies that he made, all of them.
Right. And so that's why I want him to make something else.
That's the thing. It's like we don't necessarily have evidence outside of Super 8 that's what he wants to do, and that's like he's created and been a part of a bunch of original television shows, and Super 8, for all of its Amblin, love letterness, it's his most original film, and it's his original story. But it's still, I mean, like you said, you could categorize that as something that wouldn't exist without this very specific thing in Amblin and Steven Spielberg's films. I mean, I think even he said, this is my Spielberg movie at some point or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I got no problem after all he's done so far. If this is what he's great at, I got no problem with J.J. Abrams
Look,
sticking
I mean,
with reboots.
I don't know. None of us will ever know what's going on in J.J. Abrams' heart. I don't know. But, and yeah, if they announce tomorrow that he's the director of this and he's going to make Superman great again, he's going to come out with a red hat on that says those words on it, I'll be very happy. So, you know, I'm not going to complain. I'm just saying maybe we need to do our own Abrams show.
Well, we've all,
aside from this.
We've also talked about Brad Bird. And
yes.
Animation versus live action. And maybe Brad Bird's on your list here because he's made the best Superman movie in your eyes that isn't a Superman movie. But we had this conversation where it's like, well, maybe Brad Bird's just really great at animation. And maybe that's what Brad Bird...
Or maybe he's totally great at live action, too, because he made a great Mission Impossible movie. And a really good movie in Tomorrowland. Like, that movie is not a disaster as it's being painted. But yes, he's my number five, and he would be my number one if he was at all a realistic pick.
Why isn't he realistic?
Because Incredibles is set to come out in 2019, and we have to assume that...
Are you okay for Man of Steel
2? That's
too.
When Man of Steel 2 is going to be coming out.
Right.
No, if not earlier. You know, they may fast-track it for 2018, which would be alarming. But, so he's just not a realistic pick at this point. He'd be my number one if he was. And even though you don't think that he's good at live action.
No, so... Yeah, and it's funny how the tease that was Christopher Nolan's involvement with the current Superman franchise in Man of Steel. And at this point, I'm really not sure how far Christopher Nolan went with the character. But you the key word that you kind of dropped there was hope with this character. And obviously, idealism is a big theme in Superman. Like, Christopher Nolan is a guy who, you know, for as dark as his movies are and as rooted in realism as so many of them are, I think for the most part they tend to lean hopeful. Even a movie like The Prestige, which is arguably his darkest movie, that of The Dark Knight, but I think more than anything he's a guy who sort of sees the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
and while I think he's probably an unrealistic option at this point too, he's a guy I think for a lot of people just because he showed his mettle in the comic book universe with Batman that I think a lot of people would want to reach out and grab just because again we were kind of just teased with his involvement with Man of Steel, but before you get to your next picks, you know, in all that you were describing too, the first name that popped up. Other than J.J. Abrams, once you mentioned him, was Steven Spielberg, right? And Steven Spielberg is a guy who I think in his films so often has never been afraid to face cynicism and face the real world. But I think more often than not, he decides to suppress that cynicism and opt for optimism and opt for hope. And somebody who has just an enormous grasp on scale and action-adventure, he would be an ideal choice, but I think if Steven Spielberg ever wanted to make a Superman movie, he would have done it a long time ago.
Dear God. Like, I didn't even, that is such so out of the realm of possibility for me that I didn't consider it. And just entertaining the notion, it's not good for me. Like, it's not medically okay to entertain that thought. But also you look at the scheduling, he's got Ready Player One that he's developing and a bunch of other things.
Two different conversations where I'm like,
who should direct Man of Steel 2,
and instead I'm thinking who should direct a Superman.
A Superman. You know? Yeah, I was pretty pragmatic with my list.
Well, let's hear it. I'm sorry I keep interrupting.
No, well, I mean, I don't know, it's fine. I think that it's the natural way to talk about it. And I mean, going back to what you're saying with Nolan, who again, another great Superman movie that's not a Superman movie is Interstellar, just the way that it deals with time and dealing with a dying planet and all these other things and farmland, you know, all this stuff. It's such a great movie about America. And it kind of comes out of the same depression era pop fiction that Superman comes out of. So I think there's a natural, you know, line there. But whenever he took on the franchise, he developed the idea with David Goyer who I hope to God is not on this project. I think he's one of my issues with Man of Steel. So I hope that, well, the backing up a lot is that for this thing to be successful, I do think that they're going to have to obviously get a good script, and they're going to have to make sure that the studio doesn't meddle too much, because we have heard some really upsetting reports about Suicide Squad and pressure being put on Zack Snyder in the final stages of Batman, Superman, and on Justice League. So those are two disclaimers. But going back, Nolan, when he was developing the idea, had a short list of directors that was out for Man of Steel. Zack Snyder was on that list. Also on that list, Jonathan Liebesman, Tony Scott, RIP, Matt Reeves, and Duncan Jones. And I feel like Liebesman is probably off that list for Man of Steel 2, just because he's dutifully shepherding the Ninja Turtles franchise. Tony Scott has passed away. Duncan Jones may be a kind of a realistic opportunity if he's looking to bounce back after Warcraft, or maybe he's not. Maybe he's wanting to go small scale. Matt Reeves is not a realistic choice, I would think, because he's wrapping up War for the Planet of the Apes for next year. But again, I mean, depending on how development goes, he may be in there. Do any of those names strike your fancy?
Matt Reeves is definitely the most intriguing, just because I think he's made one of the best summer blockbusters in like the last, I'll say it, like last 20 years or so, in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But again, like just in terms of tone and theme,
yeah.
I don't know that Superman is, I don't know that he's the right person for Superman. That said, I mean, I think the guy's enormously talented, and I'm not saying he can't do it. I just don't know that it fits his sensibilities. But
I agree
for sure.
Based on Cloverfield and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you kind of get the feeling that there's he works in a shade of darkness that doesn't necessarily. Well, it can vibe with Superman. It's just like, yeah. I mean, you would kind of agree with me that Man of Steel and Superman Returns, both, depending on what you even disregarding what you think of either of them, they're both kind of darker movies. And, you know, are you ready for a Superman movie that's a little bit lighter in touch than those?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, all right, so we're on the same page there. I mean, while we're still kind of talking about the realistic options, there are two guys that I think are likely, and because they're maybe so likely, I didn't put them on my list. And one of them is George Miller. He's been rumored for a while now for this project. He's been rumored to have also turned it down, I believe. Obviously, I'll go see whatever George Miller goes, whatever George Miller makes next. I don't necessarily see I guess I don't see a straight line from Mad Max Fury Road to a Superman movie, just based on the tone of that movie. But at the same time, that is a fairly hopeful movie. And, you know, there's some really old-fashioned heroics going on in that movie. And he is a versatile filmmaker, so I would totally show up for that. How would you react to that news?
I think it would be great news. The only thing is, I think the result of Mad Max Fury Road and why everybody just went absolutely gaga over it, and just the culmination, it was the culmination of seemingly George Miller's heart and soul, like him putting his heart and soul into one project for like
right.
two
20
straight
years.
Decades, you
yeah.
know, like, so I think that's a very specific circumstance for why that worked out. And you're talking about a world that person created, you know? And I know that he was rumored for forever. I don't know if rumored, if he was confirmed to be the guy that or was. He was at one point going to make Justice League, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was going to make a motion capture Justice League starring Armie Hammer.
Right. So, yeah, so he maybe he has a pretty keen interest in it, you know?
Like, yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly the guy does. He's a special action director, and you know there are some. I think there are some parallels between the Max we saw in Fury Road with Superman, and the Superman that has just been the Superman that has just entered the human race or just become a part of Earth and is struggling with the internal conflict of how do I fit in here? Are these my new people? Do I save these people, or do I move on to another world, or what do I do here? And I think that's a similar conflict that Max is facing in Fury Road specifically. And obviously, he makes the right choice, and the movie's all about good conquering evil. So Miller, I think, definitely, I don't know. I think that, again, going back to sensibilities of specific filmmakers and personalities, he seems to be a guy who would line up with the Superman mythology. But I guess my question about George Miller is, like you said, he's already turned it down before. He's been involved in projects like these. He's also not a spring chicken, you know? So
right.
who knows what his thought process is going into picking projects as big as that.
Yeah, I mean, whoever gets this gig, I kind of wish would be the Christopher Nolan of Superman, you know, and be able to, you know, direct a few of these things and really get a few great movies under their belt. I mean, you mentioned something about Fury Road that goes back to my criteria. There's an element of community to the Superman mythos that I think has been missing in some of these movies. He's got a really great supporting cast. It's something that Nolan got so well in his Batman movies is not just getting Batman right, but surrounding him with interesting supporting cast. And I think that that's something that Miller does really well, and I would love to see that in future movies. And then the other likely, I think this may be the most likely pick. He's friendly with the studio. He has big screen experience in big blockbuster experience. He's got a movie that's coming out soon, but it's probably far enough along that it won't hurt him from developing this. And he's worked with Henry Cavill, and that's Guy Ritchie. I think if the studio has a note that, hey, the fans came to see Man of Steel, but they thought it was a little dark. They thought Batman Superman was a little dark. But we're going to stick with this and stick with this actor and this cast, and we just need to pep things up a little bit. And who better than to get the guy that made The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and the Sherlock Holmes movies? And I don't know. Like I said, I feel like based on studio familiarity, cast familiarity, and schedule, I think Guy Ritchie might be the one they pick.
That's an interesting...
And I would be totally okay with that. Sorry to cut you off, but I would be totally okay with that based on Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I thought was a really fun movie.
Well, yeah, you're the person who saw it and talked about it. And nobody talks about that movie. I mean, you know, I'm sure that they're the, hey, it's underrated, you should see it crowd out there, and I will see it soon, for sure, based on your recommendation and the fact that I like Guy Ritchie. You know, I think the guy is just talent out the wazoo, you know, and I don't know that it's been misplaced necessarily, but he's gone down a path that I don't think many of his like ardent fans from the like Lock, Stock and Snatch days foresaw him going down. Not that anyone expected it, you know, I think people expected him to at some point get a lot of studio opportunities. I will say though, like the King Arthur movie and the Sherlock Holmes movies, they're a little dreary just in their visual look. And yeah, I don't know if the world's ready for Superman on cobblestone streets. That seems to be something that he's really super into right now. But yeah, I like Guy Ritchie. I'm not sure. Like, I agree that's the likeliest scenario, but anything can happen, and you're right. I mean, he makes money for the studios more often than not, I think. I mean, the Sherlock Holmes movies are really successful, and the guy, he can be a really exciting filmmaker, and it just doesn't seem like scale is any issue for him. He can go big, he can go small, and he's comfortable working with movie stars and within the studio system. So that's interesting. Can I offer a pick?
Yeah, of course.
So I only just saw this movie this guy made this year a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if they're going to go with somebody who has blockbuster experience or if they're going to go like Colin Trevorrow route and give somebody who has clear chops and perhaps a vision and somebody who has worked independently. But there is a guy who I think in his last movie showed elements of blockbuster filmmaking and a serious handle on action, and somebody who is very comfortable with tone and character and story, and also a sense of geography, and that's Jeff Nichols. Comic books were also a pretty significant prop in Midnight Special, which, you know, to an extent is kind of a superhero origin story before it kind of falls off the rails down the stretch of it. But I think that Nichols sort of has what it takes. But as somebody who really likes his work and what he's done so far and what he has coming up later this year in a movie like Loving, which is in seems to be in Jeff Nichols' wheelhouse even more so than Midnight Special was, I like his smaller movies. I like the smallish movies he makes about the South. And if he wants to keep doing that for the rest of his career, that's fine. But when you see something like the meteor shower or whatever it was at the gas station in Midnight Special, that to me was like, whoa, this kind of in a way feels like a little audition for making a big blockbuster. So he's a name I would keep an eye on.
Hey man, you just stole my number one. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I totally agree on all accounts. You're absolutely right. And I think not only is he the perfect guy for the job, I also think he should have gotten the job in 2013. Yes, that would have robbed us of Mud and Midnight Special. But I think that for all those reasons that you just gave, he's an intensely human filmmaker. He's interested in character. He's interested in America. And he is interested in these stories about outsiders and people that have these kind of personal issues that play out in these grand ways that they have to deal with through community, through patience. And he's just a phenomenal filmmaker, and he's clearly the best choice. The only his schedule is open after Loving. If that thing doesn't win him the Best Picture and Best Director Oscar, which I don't think is entirely out of the question, and puts his career on a different trajectory. But I think that you're right. He's kind of been on the precipice of doing something bigger, and I don't know if there's a better match for his type of material than Superman. The only problem I would see with it is that, yes, it would for a few years rob us of those quiet little movies that he has been so good at making these last few years. But I think that'd be worth it to get my, you know, one of my favorite superheroes, probably my favorite superhero on the screen by one of the best young directors out there right now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Midnight Special was Warner Brothers, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. They didn't market it at all. So if I was him, I would expect them to step up their game a little bit. It was a Warner Brothers movie, and I mean, he's worked with Michael Shannon. I think he is more likely than I'll probably, you know, I don't want to get my hopes up, so I'm probably not making it as likely as I think, but yeah, I think he's easily the natural pick. And, if the studio had a good head on their shoulders, he would be in that top. So we totally, you beat me to it. How about I just throw out my last three names and then we wrap up.
Okay.
So my number four is kind of J.J. Abrams adjacent, because he's a young filmmaker that just made a high-profile Bad Robot movie. He in that movie, proved that he can work with some effects. He can work with character and scenes really well. It's one of my favorite movies of the year so far. It's Dan Trachtenberg. There's nothing in 10 Cloverfield Lane that necessarily suggests a direct line to Superman, but I do think that there is a hope in that movie. There is a determination in the main character. I don't know. I think there's obviously interesting stuff about power dynamics in the movie too. So I think he'd be a solid pick in that he's a little further along than Colin Trevorrow was with Safety Not Guaranteed, but I do think it's that same Mark Webb Trevorrow model if you were to go with Trachtenberg. Any opinion there?
No, I like it. He's got a ton of potential. I mean, that would be a pretty giant leap from you know, a smaller movie to a massive movie. But like you said, I mean, just in terms of scale, that last few minutes of Think Cloverfield Lane, I mean, yeah, that's much bigger than the, you know, anything Colin Trevorrow did in Safety Not Guaranteed. So, you know, that's an interesting choice.
The next name I've got at my number three is kind of a wackier pick, and it's David O. Russell, who flirted with going to the big blockbuster dance with Uncharted and Mark Wahlberg a few years ago, but that kind of fell apart. But just in general, he makes really great movies about America. I think his last two movies have been really endearing and hopeful, as really his last three or four. He's in this stage of his career where he's just making these movies about these spunky characters and the people around them with a ton of energy. So I don't know how well that energy, I mean, I think a lot of that energy comes from having actors on a set with a Steadicam, you know, and he's directly interacting with them. So I'm not sure how much that's going to transfer when he's on big stages with green screen and locations and all these different things and IMAX cameras. But I do think just in general, he's an off the wall choice, but I think he's got a lot of really fun energy in his movies. He's kind of on a roll. I love Joy and I really liked American Hustle and he's worked with Amy Adams. So there's a slightly connection. I think his last few movies have been Warner Brothers movies. So, David Russell, like I said, kind of an off-the-wall pick, but I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is pretty off-the-wall. I think that would be a pretty enormous risk for Warner Brothers, quite
honestly. Yeah, based on his, based on some of his on-set antics.
No, certainly, but I mean, he's, you know, to his credit, that's pretty far back in the rearview mirror just because of the role, creative role that he's on and the fact that he can lure so many amazing actors and get so many amazing performances out of them. The guy has made really good movies and I think he made his best movie in his last one, Joy, which is just such an underrated, just phenomenal movie about America. So he definitely has a grasp on the country and a grasp on character and really cares about performance. And I have no doubt that he could probably step up the scale. And I mean, he's a total pro. So yeah, I mean, I'd be open to it, but if I'm Warner Brothers, I'm like, all right, let's just, you know, let's call these guys first, you know, but let me ask you this real quick. Let me just float this. So Lucasfilm pilfering, you know, J.J. Abrams from, I guess J.J. Abrams was done with Star Trek and was ready to move on to the next thing. So I don't know if pilfering's the right word, but basically, like, going from Star Trek to Star Wars, in a way, is in the ballpark of, say, going from making a Marvel movie to a DC movie. So I'm sure that, you know, I know that directors are, in a way, kind of expendable over there at Marvel, and you kind of have to do, it's their way or the highway in many respects. It doesn't matter how good you are and the prestige that you have. But, and I think a lot of the directors are probably pretty locked in down the road for movies that they're going to be attached to, but anything could happen. But what would you think, like, do you think it's at all possible for Warner Brothers in DC to sort of extend an offer to a Marvel all-star? And I'm not saying, like, the Russo brothers are in play here, but what would you think, just as somebody who is a fan of the Marvel movies and hopeful that DC can turn it around, what would you think if they did reach into the Marvel bag to see if they could lure somebody who had success translating comics to the big screen the way that Marvel wanted to do it and could sort of bring that philosophy in execution over to DC? Do you think that is in the realm of possibility at all?
You're talking like a Louis Leterrier?
Louis Leterrier specifically.
Well, I think he was actually like on the rumored list before, like after Bryan Singer or somewhere in there. So like he has brushed up against Superman. Yeah, I mean,
I think he's booked for the next three Brothers Grimsby sequels. So
right, well, he may be coming back to Now You See Me 3. Who knows? I didn't personally put any Marvel directors on the list. I definitely considered some. I didn't just because I am one of those people that, it, as much as I love Abrams, it does bug me that he made that hop, and it bugs me about Singer that he made that hop from X-Men to Superman. So I don't, for whatever reason, personally, I'm not crazy about that cross-brand pollination. But I think that it's likely, and I would not be surprised at all, if Warner Brothers has reached out to Joss Whedon. I think that, and of all the directors, I think he is probably the most likely and would be a fantastic fit for Superman. I don't think he would do it because there's been rumors of him warming back up to Marvel. Jon Favreau, I think also he's kind of locked in at Disney and has kind of come back to the Marvel fold. So I don't think that he's very likely. And then everybody else, I'm not sure, you know, Kenneth Branagh, I don't know I don't know if anybody really wants that or Alan Taylor. I mean, Edgar Wright would be a huge get, but again, I can't really see him working with Superman all that well in terms of just his personal style. So, yeah, I guess it would shock me, all that to say. But I think the only one I'd be, like, overwhelmingly happy about would be Whedon.
Interesting. And just given what we know about his exit from Marvel, essentially, it would kind of be the ultimate middle finger in a way.
Yes.
But I don't know. I don't see him doing that. And like I think I mentioned to you guys recently that he even entertained the idea of making a Black Widow movie, which, God, if anybody's going to make that, if you can get Joss Whedon to make that, do it, please.
Yeah. Why hasn't that happened? Yeah,
happened yet? By now, who knows? But
well, and he did. I think he was developing a Wonder Woman movie years ago too.
Was he ever attached to Superman in any incarnation?
I don't think so. I mean, he's written comics for Marvel. I think he's developed at DC, but for Wonder Woman. But I don't think he's ever tackled Superman. But I think he's great enough at knowing the medium and knowing the genre. And I'm sure he's familiar enough with the character that he could bring something special and really figure out what makes that character so great and run with it.
Yeah. The only other name that is just kind of poking at me right now, I don't think logistically it's in the cards, 'cause I think he is making the next Mission Impossible movie, but Christopher McQuarrie is, if there's a franchise, I want his, like a franchise that I like, I want his name in the hat.
I want him on speakerphone for every script meeting.
Yeah.
For sure. but I don't know, I don't really, really, really don't want to rob him from the Mission Impossible franchise. And I don't know, I feel like the stuff that makes him great as a director, from the car chase and Jack Reacher and every single thing about Rogue Nation, is those practical effects, you know, and I'm not sure if you're going to be able to rely on the practical effects for as much of Superman as he would like to. So I don't know. I feel like you'd be taking some of his edge off by putting him with such a fantastical character. But yeah, again, he's kind of like Abrams, where it's like, look, I can come up with five reasons why I don't necessarily love the pick, but you put that news in a headline and watch my face light up. You know, it's, I'll take it. I will not kick him out.
Yeah. No, the next logical choice here is Pixar. Pixar Superman movie. Please.
Well, what a great way to wrap up, because actually that's the last name on my list is a huge gamble in the realm of live action, but he's my number two after Jeff Nichols. And he does have experience with men who are so strong that they can jump and maybe even fly, and that's Andrew Stanton. He's got a huge hit on his hands with Finding Dory. It was the fourth of four really good to like masterpiece level movies. This guy is a great director. Let's give him another shot at live action if he wants it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, what a tricky scenario there where it's like, is this a risk? You know, like after John Carter, I mean, I guess it is, but I mean,
but if you look at, I don't know, I feel like if you look at John Carter, the problems there were obviously marketing, but backing up from that, it was, I think a lot of it came down to casting too.
Yep.
You know, and I think that, look, he's got a built-in cast here. He's got a great cast. And so all he needs to bring is the tone and the story and you know, the character dynamic. And I feel like that in all of his movies, he's proven that he excels at all those things.
Well, my last thought here is you mentioned before that you're still waiting on the great Superman movie. You liked the Donner movies. You like Superman Returns. But for me, like, tell me if I'm crazy here. Are the Donner Superman movies as silly as the Adam West Batman show and movie to you at this point?
No, because they go for a level of emotional reality, emotional maturity that the Adam West Batman never does. Now, in terms of with most of their main characters, but in terms of the, you know, the effects and some of the side characters and the villains and things like that, you know, they're pretty campy and they're pretty dated. So I wouldn't say they're that close yet, but, you know, give us another 10 years and I'm sure kids will continue to wrinkle their noses at those movies.
I'm wrinkling away.
Well, this was a lot of fun, man. I could probably keep talking about it for another 20 hours or so.
Yeah, and we know they're in your eyes especially, they're going to screw it up, right?
Oh, yeah. They're going to
announce Snyder all the way.
Yeah. Snyder's coming back. Well, he's going to co-direct with Liebesman, and that's where we're going to be. So
I just say Snyder, Goyer for, like, 5 more movies.
Oh, here's the thing. Goyer has directing experience. So
is he a wild card for you? Like, it's like, wait, that could actually happen.
Why couldn't it? I mean, he has had total control, not total, but he has had control over the franchise for years now, and he has directing experience. It almost happened with Star Trek with Bob Orsi directing. You know, he wrote the first two, and kind of there was a power vacuum and almost stepped in for that. So, you know, we could get Goyer.
He'll always have co-writing The Dark Knight. Always.
Right. Always. And he'll also always have The Invisible.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.